us at Demon Daily. Take one. With me, I have Katie Becker. Katie, you're one of our teachers at LSAT Demon. How long have you been around us now? You're not new by any means.
Not really. I've been here since September. So what is that? 9 months? 8 months?
Uh-huh. And you teach classes and you do one-on-one tutoring for us. Mm-hmm. You've also become kind of our resident expert on jobs without JDs. You don't have any special expertise, but you did some research and you've been really helpful responding to listeners on Thinking LSAT. So when this email came in, this is from Bella, a current LSAT Demon student. And Bella says, hey, love the show. Just wanted to ask if you have any insights on JD Advantage jobs, specifically a Title IX coordinator. I would love any advice as it's hard to find information on this career path. Thank you, Bella. So, Katie, I forwarded that to you and you responded with a thoughtful email. Obviously, I don't want you to read that email because it'll make for bad radio. But, what do you have to say to Bella?
Well, my gut instinct was if it's a JD Advantage job, that means it's not a JD required job. And Bella might want to think about ways that she could get that advantage that don't involve paying potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars, or even if she got that full scholarship, even just the opportunity cost of going to law school. I know.
Yeah, I just want to stop here because this law schools throw around this JD advantage. You know, what they're doing is they're trying to make their employment numbers look better. And so they've created this whole class of JD advantage jobs where it's like, well, our graduates didn't get a job that specifically required them to use a JD, like, oh, you know, a lawyer. So they're right. Like, they're not lawyers, but what they are is, oh, it's a job where a JD gives you an advantage. But where do they draw the line on that? Because isn't it, like, if I went down to the local Starbucks and tried to get a job there and I was like, oh, by the way, I have a JD, surely that would convey some advantage.
Right. I think that's right. Yes. I think my sort of take on this would be, as she says, you know, it's hard to find information on this career path. I don't think in the age of LinkedIn, thankfully, it's not really hard to find information on any career path. I would say she should go on LinkedIn, plug in Title IX coordinator, and just start messaging people. These are people who work in student affairs. They probably like working with students, and they probably like mentoring young people. So just reach out to them and be like, hey, I want your job. Maybe say it slightly more tactfully than that. But basically, what do I need to do?
And you did a little bit of research on Title IX coordinators specifically on LinkedIn.
I did.
What did you find?
I saw some that had JDs. I saw some that had masters in education policy, education administration, higher education. I saw some that had PhDs in higher education. And I saw some that had none of the above. So it doesn't look like a JD is required.
I don't think one person ever went and got a JD in order to then become a Title IX coordinator. I think that this is an accidental career path for those people where they had lofty dreams of being a lawyer, just like I did, just like so many people have these fantasy ideas about, oh, law school. Yeah, I'm going to be a lawyer, sure. And then that you get there and then you don't like it. And then you end up searching for some other thing to do. And you become a Title IX coordinator randomly. I mean, you didn't reach out to any of these people individually, did
no,
you?
This no,
is
no,
probably
I didn't.
Work that Bella needs to do.
This is work Bella definitely needs to do. And probably work like anyone thinking about any career path should do, which includes going to law school.
If you do want to be a lawyer, you know, absolutely. Yeah. You should talk to real lawyers, not law students. Law students are not lawyers. It's funny. The school will like, you want to get connected, right? And so the school's admissions office will be like, oh, yeah, Here, talk to these. Here, well, Jill's a 3L.
Right.
She's a real expert, you know? And it's like, no, no. I want to talk to attorneys. I want to talk to people who actually know what it's like to practice law. Okay, right. So Bella needs to do some outreach on LinkedIn. And is that scary? How do you do that, reaching out to a stranger on LinkedIn?
I don't think it has to be scary. I don't know. I reached out to somebody on LinkedIn earlier today because I wanted a copy of something they had published. I think if you just say, hey, I'm interested in learning more about your career path, people love that. Like it's you saying that you like respect them or idolize them in some way. Like that there's nothing humans like more than that. So I like just, hey, I'm really interested in learning about your journey to becoming, you know, to this really important job.
Yes.
Would you be willing to chat with me for 15 minutes? Over Zoom or
it's what,
over the phone.
Yes, it's what LinkedIn's for, and you're giving the person a compliment. If you can leverage a mutual connection or something like that, that's great. But if not, just it doesn't cost you anything. You could reach out to 10 different Title IX coordinators and whatever. If only half of them respond, then only half of them respond. You haven't lost anything. Okay, what
or
else?
If you're still in undergrad or in graduate school, reach out to your school's Title IX coordinator.
And yes, absolutely leverage the resources on campus. Thank you, Katie. Okay, what else do you have? You had a couple other bullet points here for Bella.
I suggested just going to Indeed or Inside Higher Ed, which has a job board, and just looking at the job postings. There were a lot for Title IX coordinator because I think every school that receives federal funding needs a Title IX coordinator, whether that person is Title IX coordinator by job title or some other like, you know, dean of diversity or dean of inclusion or whatever varies, but there are a lot of these jobs. So just start looking at the job postings. What are they looking for? Does it say JD required? If not, think about other ways, like think about other paths to that, right? And when I used to work in like higher ed administration for 2 years. And I think something that a lot of schools will do for their administrators, whether that's your program assistants, research assistants, admissions officers, is often schools will let you take courses at that school towards like a master's or something. I have a lot of friends who've done that. So if your school will pay for you, like if you can get a job, any job in higher ed, and then your workplace will pay for you to get a master's or even a PhD in higher ed while you're working and earning a salary, that sounds like potentially a better path.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we can wrap it up there. Any final words for Bella before we say goodbye?
The last thing I just recommended, there's an organization called Know Your Nine, and it's Know Your IX. It's the Roman numeral nine. Title IX coordinator is not an advocacy job, based on my understanding. It's a compliance role, basically. Know Your Nine is an advocacy organization, but it still might be worth reaching out to them because I think they would know this landscape really well. So just, again, LinkedIn or email them and say, hey, I'm interested in this sort of area of campus gender equity. Can we chat? And I'm sure they would have good insight beyond what I can offer.
Amazing. We'll have links to all of the stuff that Katie has talked about on our website, which is lsatdemondaily.com. We'll have show notes and links to everything we discuss. If you have a question for a future episode of LSAT Demon Daily, just email help@lsatdemondaily.com.